gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some makeup on it. While I stand up in the background and check up on it.
You are listening to episode what?
51
of the TryGames.net pod.
51! Next! 51!
Yes. I'm your host, Mr. Chupon. Known in the real world as Austin. We're supposed to
That's
have...
That's what we call him. Austin.
We're supposed to have four ladies here as usual, but Al will be a little tardy. He's preparing something very, very special for all of you.
He's making Thanksgiving dinner for November now.
Yeah.
Not kidding.
So the real people that we have here right now are Ethan!
Yeah.
Tony!
Yeah!
No song today?
No song.
Ethan, what are you playing?
What am I playing? San Andreas a little bit.
Really?
Yep. They Flight Sim X a little bit. That's about it. I had a really busy week, but I did get some gaming in.
How was the Flight Sim?
Good. It's really good. My machine, I want a new computer every time I play it. and it's not my computer's fault, and it's not the game's fault. I'm glad it has all the stuff in there. I understand it. You know, there's some limitations there, but when I turn everything off, it looks so good, and it just drops the frame rate down to like 15, 10 maybe,
right.
And it pisses me off. But it's good.
Yeah.
It's complicated. I'm confused.
Stupid.
I feel dumb every time I play it.
You are dumb.
Because I feel like there's an 8-year-old who read the manual once and is like, I'm an expert pilot, and I have to like go through the stupid video tutorials and like, what do I do again? How do I use the radar? I have no idea.
One question is, you know how they got rid of buildings after 9/11?
There are buildings everywhere.
Oh.
Can you fly into them?
I don't know. I'm going to try.
9/11
simulator. Is that what they did? They actually like just kept you from flying into them?
I don't know. I have no idea. I will try.
I gotcha.
But there are definitely, in the game, buildings.
Right. And Alfred has joined us in the studio. You missed the greeting, so Al!
Huh?
There. So, Ethan's been playing Flight Sim X. Where
you can't fly into buildings.
You can't fly into buildings. Now, these things...
We don't know that yet.
Right, you have to check. Well, these things, are they like Madden, where like every year it's just a little bit touched up and like only the fanatics will like understand
no.
what's been improved or
no last Flight Sim released was in 2004.
Yeah, but leading up to them, didn't they have 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003 or
no?
Oh,
no,
okay.
they're more spread apart than Madden. I don't think it's like every year, but they, I mean, it is the same game with better shit.
No, with the Learjet.
I guess they do some work on the modeling for the simulation. They do really, I think the improvement is graphics. The improvements are graphics and better and more options.
I gotcha. Tony!
And I got you on pitch.
Yeah.
Tony, what you playing?
I am playing... I got bored of like the new stuff, so every once in a while I pull out my archives and I start playing that. So I was playing Seventh Saga on the Nintendo... Super Nintendo.
With the mighty piss on.
I don't have too many good memories of that game. Partially because I don't believe in RPGs with one character in your party, but... That's probably because I rented it and I didn't get very far and I was like, you know what, screw this game, and I returned it. But I'm like, is there a good game underneath that?
No, it's Seven Saga. It's, you know, it's the game you always remembered,
like,
the
no,
game you never wanted to
there's
play.
There's no good game underneath it. Be glad that you returned it to Blockbuster.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You could only have one playable, one extra character in your party.
It just felt limiting.
Yeah, and you split the experience between them, which is dumb. I mean, like, you know, they don't share experience. It divides between the two, so it takes you twice as long to level up, and you're getting your ass kicked by a lot of enemies.
That sounds like Breath of Fire.
I guess. This game, it takes a long time to level up, so you're actually
grinding,
you're getting
a
your
lot.
Ass kicked. Yeah, getting your ass kicked, and the game is long, so... made longer only because you have to do a lot of, leveling up and stuff and backtracking, and even when you level up, you're very limited. So, yeah, it's the game you remembered and loved when you was a kid.
Especially for 5 hours
kid.
before
when
I returned it.
When
now,
I was a boy.
Do you, in order to finish the game, do you have to play as all 7 characters or just one? Like, do you get, like, the full ending or something only after playing all 7 characters?
Oh, I have no idea because I never passed it.
No
desire. I just picked it up again because it's like Phantasy Star 2. I'm like, why didn't I pass this game?
Right, right.
You know?
And now you know why.
Yeah, that's why. So also, I'm playing Command and Conquer 3,
okay.
And I'm impressed that this game does not lag on my computer at all. This game is gorgeous. It's absolutely it floors me all the time. And this, I was able to beat a normal computer on Steamroller.
And finally, Steamroller.
Oh my god, it was so. Computer is merciless on this game. Ethan, I suggest you pick this game up because we got to get down a plane on this game. This game is awesome. It's almost exactly alike to the Command and Conquer whatchamacallit, Generals.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's almost exactly alike, except you cannot turn off super weapons. But unlike Command and Conquer Generals, you could only build one super weapon.
Right.
So
well,
but it
depends
you
on
can't
what
turn
your
it
settings
off.
Were.
No, you can't turn it off. Oh, okay. What do you mean on Generals?
Yeah.
Yeah, on Generals you could you click this
option.
You could
set it to
build
just one, but you could also set it to none or infinite, I think.
Right. So that's pretty much it. But I'm just happy I beat it on Steamroller. Normal
Steam
level.
Steamroller.
Steamroller.
While you play.
I'm playing some stuff. Of note, I started Metroid Prime 2. And I'm loving it.
Oh, you'd like that?
Yeah, I like it. I don't understand. What do you think was wrong with it?
The ammo.
Well, Yeah, the ammo thing kind of, like, pissed me off.
Who cares?
And it's almost the same game from Metroid Prime, so...
Yeah, I kind of wanted more of the same in this particular case, because when I'm playing Metroid Prime 2, I'm remembering when I was playing Metroid Prime
mm-hmm.
and how much I loved that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the different elements in it's basically the environment
mm-hmm.
and just the different things that I'm doing. I mean, I know it's basically the same game over and over.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of this, it's like you start out with all your power-ups, then you lose them by some crazy method, which is cool because it's not like, oh, I just finished the past game. Where are my power-ups?
Mm-hmm.
At least they kind of explain
right,
that.
Right,
and then
right.
you go and you find your power-ups again. You go and solve the mystery of whatever planet you're on and... I mean, it's basically like, you know, okay, I'm a cop and I got this drug bus and now I'm going to go do this next drug bus and I'm going to do this next drug bus. It's the same thing, just different people. Well, anyhow, I'm about 3 hours into it and I'm enjoying it. I got into the dark ether and I'm trying to find,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to break the first temple, the first dark temple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. And then I've been playing Pokemon and unfortunately I can't finish it yet. I actually tried, and I got my ass handed to me because the Pokemon that whooped my ass was level 66.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a level 66 Pokemon at the end of the game before because in all the other games, they were like 50, 55, 59. So I was like, okay, this is going to be the same. I'm going to walk through there and steamroll Elite Four because you got to fight five trainers one by one without stopping.
Mm.
And, well, I mean, you can stop in between, but you can't leave. And so that made it kind of rough. And then when I got up to the champion, he just had this unstoppable motherfucker. And all my Pokemon are like between 45 and 51.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it was one shot, one shot, one shot, one shot, one shot, and one shot. And then I died. And I was like, fuck. So now I got to go back and I got to retrain. It's going to take me like 2 more weeks to finish this goddamn game.
Let the handing of the asses begin. Here is your ass, sir.
Yeah. And
anything else?
A little bit of WarioWare on Friday night. And like 2 minutes in Ninja Gaiden while drunk. I tried beating the last boss again. And
while drunk?
Yeah, I got real close. Not.
What?
And then I
bloody
got booted back to 6-1. And I was like, fuck this.
Me, I play the Pac-Man on Xbox.
Oh. The championship.
Yeah, that shit is actually really fun. For those who don't know, you know, they made this announcement about Pac-Man like a year ago at E3 or a year and a half or something. Like, Peter was like, oh, we're very happy to announce one of the most popular games in gaming history, Pac-Man. And everybody was like, Pac-Man, who cares, right? And they thought they was going to have Pac-Man on downloadable Xbox Live Arcade. And it was like, okay, whatever. It comes out, and it's like a sequel. It's like a new game.
It's like they actually made Pac-Man a game.
Yeah. But instead of just eating dots and moving across the stages... Well, first of all, the orientation is horizontal, not vertical, so just to fit widescreen TVs. But imagine that the board is split into two areas, the left and the right side. Like, just imagine it, because it's not what it looks like in the game, but it's just divided down the middle. And you start off with a set of dots on each side. It's symmetrical. And when you clear a side of dots, fruit appears. And when you eat the fruit, the other side, or whatever side is empty, fills up with dots again. So it kind of keeps on going. Now, the big gameplay element here is that you chain together eating of the ghosts. So if you get a power pellet and you eat all four ghosts and rush really fast to the second power pellet and you eat those four ghosts and then you eat the fruit and you fill the other side full of dots again, get another power pellet, eat more ghosts, and then rush it. Basically, you're trying to chain as many chomps together as possible, just eating ghosts. And each game is actually 5 minutes, so it's not like you go from beginning to end. You do everything in a timed space, and you try to get as high a score as possible. So you kind of justify yourself playing just one more game because it's only 5 minutes, and then you just keep on playing and trying to beat your score. So it's not a Pac-Man game anymore. It's basically get as high a freaking score as possible, you know, within a set amount of time. But it's really just addictive because of the short time limit and because it's so simple. And they didn't really change the mechanics of it. I mean, it's still Pac-Man. It's not like... What is that Pac-Man that you could jump over the ghosts?
Super Pac-Man?
Was that Pac-Man 3D?
No, not Super Pac-Man.
Pac-Man 3D, right?
Yeah.
Something crap like that. And it's like... They didn't change any of that. It's Pac-Man. It's just reformulated into, like, new things. And they have other modes where all the ghosts and Pac-Man have this little halo of light around them, and everything else is dark. So you can't see the maze except for what's, like, 5 inches in front of you, which makes it kind of scary. I haven't played that part yet, but I heard about it. So it's really cool. The only problem for some people is that it's 800 Microsoft points, which is $10, and
they can't justify it.
Can you really justify $10 for a new Pac-Man, even if it is kind of cool and you have leaderboards and all that shit? But I can, because it's really fun.
You really play it.
Some people can't. Some people don't like Pac-Man that much, and that I can understand. So I think you're gonna want to download the demo. Try that out, but I think we're going to move on to the news. On to the news. We're going to do it really quick because we got a lot to talk about and we're late. So one, 50 million reasons why Grand Theft Auto 4 episodic content is exclusive to the Xbox 360. This news report comes out of Kotaku. The decision to keep Grand Theft Auto 4 episodic content off the PS3 is a mean one. It may also have a big impact on both sales of the game and of the 360 and PS3 consoles themselves. So what could possibly lure Take-Two into going steady with Microsoft? About $50 million. This was revealed in Take-Two's second quarter fiscal 2007 results in a conference call. When asked for details on the move by analyst Evan Wilson of Pacific Crest Securities, Take-Two CFO Lainey Goldstein disclosed both the sums involved and the prospective release dates. The first $25 million is for the first episodic content package that's supposed to go out, and that is in March of 2008. That's why it's moved into the current, because it's the next 12 months. The second $25 million will be for the second episodic content, and that will be later in fiscal 2008. So basically, the first report was that, oh, Microsoft paid them for this content. But then there's an update that basically spins it as Microsoft paid $50 million in advance for Grand Theft Auto content. And this is what the update says. Microsoft paid a reported $50 million in advance to secure exclusive downloadable content. And there's some line in here about, like, the revenue and this not being just a whole, like, money hat type of thing, but they're actually paying Take-Two for, like, the revenues that they're expecting to get. So, like, here's
right.
What it said.
70-30 split, yeah.
Yeah. It says, NextGen contacted Wedbush Morgan securities analyst Michael Pachter, who further explained the deal. What Microsoft did was pay a $50 million advance, much in the same way a big-name author receives a payment in advance of his or her next book. In other words, Microsoft is confident that Take-Two's portion of the revenue generated by Grand Theft Auto 4 content downloads will surpass the $50 million in advance paid. Microsoft basically said that it's happy to pay Take-Two in advance $50 million. So I guess what's happening is, like, oh, like you said, Tony, 30% cut from the Xbox Live Marketplace content sales. Taking that 70-30 split and the $50 million advance into account, Microsoft is apparently confident that GTA 4 download revenues over Xbox Live will be at least $70 million. So, I mean, they're getting this money, and they're basically giving Take-Two its cut, its proper cut of the money in advance. It's not actually saying, we want this exclusive. We will bribe you. But I don't know what to believe. I don't know what you guys think.
How funny would it be if they paid $50 million for another hot coffee mod?
That would be that would be great.
Fucked up.
That would be that present, and you unwrap it, and then it's just like, boom, the bomb explodes in your face.
Next up, Diablo the movie.
Al's all full of visuals today, let me tell you.
Flynn DeMarco from Kotaku writes, in yet another move to capitalize on the recent rise of video game popularity, BlizzPlanet is reporting that the Legendary Pictures website is listing a Diablo movie as in development right alongside of the Clash of the Titans remake and a World of Warcraft film. More details on the project are expected to come out at the now sold-out BlizzCon in August. Wow. Diablo movie. Any,
No! No!
As long as Michael Bay doesn't direct it.
How funny would it be
if they put a hot coffee mod in there?
No, if it turned out to be like a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And
everybody
like
starts fucking dressing up as different characters and going there and like starts trading special
movies,
shit that they build, but they have to build it out of like tinfoil now because they can't build anything in the game, like cool extra shit.
Oh, man.
If it's directed by Uwe Boll.
Oh, God.
Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I will officially poke Tony's eyes.
Well, I just have to say this better be better, you know, for lack of a better word.
Right.
It better be better than...
Anything else.
What's it, Dead or Alive? That's out now.
Oy.
In the movie theaters.
Oh, why'd
you
have to
no
bring
business.
That up? Oh, sour taste in mouth. Ugh.
It's doing no business. It's, you know, it
good.
Might actually do worse than Blood Rain. Awesome.
You brought up Blood Rain, Christ.
Wow. Or DOA.
That's money well spent, let me tell you.
Next up, Tomb Raider Anniversary is available as episodic content on 360, but the reason why I bring this up is because there's a bunch of hurdles that don't seem to be necessary. Tomb Raider Anniversary is being released as episodic content on a 360, this comes from Game Life blog, but only to owners of Tomb Raider Legend. The game will be available in four episodes and cost 2,400 points total. And for those of you who aren't counting, 2,400 Microsoft points is $30, which incidentally is the same price as the retail release of the game. Ooh. Okay, now that seems fair, but the fact that you have to own Tomb Raider Legend first just makes it kind of weird. Let me continue the article. Episodes 1 and 2 will be available in September, with the remaining two episodes arriving shortly afterwards. A full retail version for the 360 should be out later in the year. You'll have to have a copy of Tomb Raider Legend in order to download the content and have the disc in the drive at the time of download. I kind of don't get this, although now that I think about it, Xbox 360 games are more expensive than normal. So, maybe they're selling the retail copy of the 360 version for $40, and this whole deal is, oh, you're saving $10, just make sure you have Tomb Raider Legend! But I'll just buy it on PC for $30.
How funny would it be if,
moving on.
if that thing worked with a no CD crack?
The day they get that on Xbox Live is the day that Microsoft issues a new firmware update that totally borks everybody's Xbox that has the patch on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they're ready for that. Next, Sony is preparing to disband its Sony Connect Music download service in order to focus on greater efforts servicing the PlayStation Group. Now, the thing that I found notable about this is just the fact that, like, this is how far games have come in terms of culture and pop culture and popularity. It's like, you know, everybody wants a download music store. Everybody listens to music. But now Sony is saying, you know what? We experimented with this shit. We failed. So let's put more of our resources into games because that's where it's at.
And that's where we're failing bigger.
This is
the
I kind of disagree, but that's a discussion.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. Talking about PS3. So.
Oh, okay.
Fuck Sony.
They'll pick up. The church thing is over.
Absolutely.
No, fuck them. Sony's preparing to disband its Sony Connect Music. The Sony Connect experiment is about to get disconnected. It'll be winding down its music and video services in the next couple of months and focus on servicing the PlayStation Group on the technical needs. At a meeting late last week, 20 impending job cuts were announced. Approximately 80 other employees will be devoted to PS support roles. While the music download service, which offers content to users' Sony portable devices, is set to wind down, the e-books division will remain operational, servicing Sony Reader product. This is from nextgen.biz. So, yeah. I don't know. Anything else to say, or can we move on?
Move.
Move.
Take-Two is now completely focused on Wii and DS.
Huh?
Coming from Game Life again by Chris Kohler, after their company totally missed the boat on Nintendo DS and Wii, which I don't know if you know this, but they're the number one and number two top-selling game machines right now. Take-Two Interactive's brand-spanking new slate of executives pledged, quote, complete focus, quote, on Nintendo's hardware. To be perfectly frank, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to realize what's going on with Wii and DS. I will tell you that very quickly, we turned to both 2K and to Rockstar and said, guys, We need a DS strategy and a Wii strategy, and we are working on it. As we get into the next quarter and into budget season for 2008, everybody in this company is completely focused on it. And this is from Strauss Zelnick, the chairman of Take-Two Interactive. Zelnick went on to say that development cycles are long, implying that nobody should exactly be holding their breath out on this one because Take-Two was late to the game, and we won't see Wii or DS results for a while yet. He also mentions that Carnival Games for the Wii.
Yay!
Great, another mini-game compilation. I want it so badly. Announced at Nintendo's Media Summit last month has gotten a lot of attention in the marketplace as well as with Nintendo, so we're pretty excited about that. Well, not me!
The Wii's becoming a mini-game machine. That's it.
Yay!
Oh, God.
I like the term Carnival Games. I imagine, like, instead of Sword Swallowers, you have Wii Swallowers.
Oh, God.
Shut up! Wouldn't it be funny if that were funny? Moving on, Konami reveals Contra 4 for the DS.
Yeah!
Which is
bitches.
Awesome, because not because it's for the DS, but just because it's a real Contra sequel. Yeah, Contra has needed a real sequel for a long time now, says Michael Fahey from Kotaku. It's been 15 years since the release of Contra 3 The Alien Wars, and since then we've been getting nothing but crappy attempts as bringing the series into 3D and the ridiculously difficult Shattered Soldier for the PS2. Now, I still want to play that, so I have no conception of how hard that game was. Now celebrating its 20th anniversary, the series that made run-and-gun gameplay what it is goes back to its roots with Contra 4 for the DS. And somewhere around here, it says it will have a grappling hook. I don't know how you feel about that, but I think Contra's so awesome that adding a grappling hook will only make it awesomer.
It's going to make other developers cry, I'm telling you.
I think you could add a grappling hook to almost any game and it makes it better.
Potentially.
I mean, Sim, grappling
potentially,
hook would be
sweet. Yeah. Which game?
SimCity, grappling hook, awesome.
Yeah, although no.
Scale those skyscrapers.
Forza Motorsports, grappling hook.
Awesome.
Right.
Pac-Man, grappling
last piece
hook.
Of news, last piece of news before we move on to the bag of feces. A New York game bill one step closer to passage. A New York game bill that would make it a felony to sell a violent game to a minor is one step closer to passage. The New York and State Senate and Assembly reached an agreement on the bill late last night, but the current session ended before the bill could be passed by both houses. The I's should be dotted and the T's crossed when everyone reconvenes in July. An agreement...
I thought that shit
filibuster.
Was done.
It's too late to work off.
I thought it was done already.
I guess the bill itself is complete, but they just have to approve it.
Yeah, they'll file.
And, like, the more and more I think about it, I think it, you know... It would work, you know, yeah, but I just hate the fact that they're treating a game like alcohol and tobacco.
Hey, ATFVG.
Is it a felony to let a child into an R-rated movie?
No.
Well, there you go.
I don't think it is. Tired of these fucking bitches bringing
their
babies into the
fucking... I don't care what they do. They just need to stay consistent. That's the problem.
Right. I totally agree. If they're gonna find people for buying game, if they're gonna find people for selling games to underage people, they're gonna find people for getting into an R-rated movie underage. They're gonna find a little kid for wandering into the fucking adult book section in Barnes & Noble. And buy that shit. They gotta keep it consistent.
They got an adult book section in Barnes & Noble?
Well, I've seen, like... Well, I've seen
That's
the
where
placard...
I get my porn.
The placard says, like, adult, so... Well,
yeah,
although
discount.
It's not,
mean...
like, porn. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah,
it's adult.
Yeah, it's adult-oriented.
So it's sexual
okay,
or whatever in nature, but it's not porn.
It's classy porn.
Yeah.
Classy
it's not Playboy
porn.
And Hustler. It's everything you always wanted to know about sex.
Right. But we're afraid to find out in a Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to the bag of shit real quick before the main topic, which is going to take 5 hours to talk about?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Poop.
And that is why, dear audience, we're ignoring the biggest news of this week, because that'll be our topic. Moving on, though! We are at the bag of feces, where we take
it's
a game.
Bag of deuce.
Sorry.
Bag of deuce. I hereby propose we rename it to bag of deuce.
Hey, what about the bag of colon sweat?
Ooh, that's pretty good too.
Jesus Christ!
How about you know what I smell? I smell another contest.
Oh God!
Name the bag
name
of shit.
Name the bag of shit.
The bag of shit is namey enough as it is. Who wants to go first? Who wants to go first? I'll go first.
All right. My bag of shit game is Mega Man X6.
For the PS1?
For the PlayStation, yes.
But I love Mega Man. Continue.
That game was so difficult, and I realized why because I just looked it up just because I was like, wait a minute, I need to just take a look at this, make sure I was right. Because did I buy that game? I think I bought that game. When I played it, I couldn't pass any stage.
Right.
Because the game was so ass hard. And then I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it said that the game is noted for being exceptionally difficult and being the only Mega Man game where...
which you can crouch.
It's, yeah. It's impossible for you to pass a certain stage if you are a certain form, causing you to kill yourself off and go back to stage select.
Oh.
And
that's
kind of
like not getting the Magnet Beam in Mega Man 1.
Kind of, yeah. And notably, the director, Inafune, Keiji Inafune, he did not direct this game.
No wonder.
They actually made this game without his knowledge.
Figures.
While behind he was, his back. Yeah, behind his back while he was doing Mega Man Zero. And so he decided to... Yeah. I had that game. And then he actually reworked Mega Man Zero, like the storyline, to fit with the end of Mega Man 6 because... So yeah, that game fucking blows. You can't pass any stages, and it sucks. Real big donkey balls.
Who's next? Who wants to go next?
Ethan.
Ethan, what's your bag of shit game?
My bag of shit is actually the new version of Yahoo Chess.
Why?
Because I know it's funny.
How can they mess that up?
They had this old. They fucked it up. They put
how
like.
Do you fuck up?
I'm telling
chess.
You, and I'll prove it to you. They implemented the new version of chess probably about 6 months ago. They made the pieces look, instead of like really simple, like these nice wood pieces with special graphics and the
right.
board looked cool,
right.
and they had a little different window on the right, and it ran in a smaller window that wasn't maximized, and you couldn't run a couple more windows, and there was some whatever. Okay, number one, it breaks. It crashes with Firefox more than my grandmother crashes into building. I got nothing on that, but it crashes
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, you don't. That was bad.
I tried. I went down a road that there was just
that
no
was
end.
That was bad.
To
Move
All
on.
Right.
Continue.
Okay. The sound, when I heard the first sound, usually you could set it to like make a sound when players move.
Yeah.
So I clicked it on because I like that in the older version. The player moved. I heard a loud sound. I heard a crackle, and then the whole computer shut down. I know how to use a computer.
Really.
I've not been able to reproduce that, but I'm upset that it happened once. I don't like the way you enter a room and can select players and invite people. The interface is harder to understand than the older one. And for that reason, I play the old chess because they leave it up there. Now, they implemented this 6 months ago. Still today, when you get to the chess page, they have a big block looking for old chess. Click here, and please tell us what you think of new chess. Please tell us what you think of new chess. We're always trying to work harder to improve our systems. Know why? Because nobody plays the goddamn new chess. Everybody fucking hates it, and everybody goes and plays the old chess.
Wouldn't it be funny if you clicked on the please tell us what's wrong with it, and it crashes?
I should do that.
Wouldn't it be funny if you clicked on please tell me what's wrong with it, and it brought you to the chess?
Yeah.
Tony,
wouldn't it be funny if they released the hot coffee mod for Yahoo
I
Chess?
I knew you were going to say that.
I couldn't help it.
Ha, ha, ha. Tony, what's your bag of shit game?
Knight takes
120 seconds. Go. Tony, bag of shit game.
Bishop hides in
Brokeback
Rook's
Mountain,
bottom.
The video game.
What's your bag of shit game?
Brokeback Mountain, the video game.
That exists.
They do not have that.
Thank God it doesn't, because I wouldn't play it. No.
You're down to 110 seconds.
Okay, my bag of shit game for this week is something that I really liked it at the time, only because I was forced to. It was a game made by Broderbund. It's called Deadly Towers.
Oh, God.
Deadly Tower.
Oh, God, Deadly
Towers. Is that a
Towers.
PC game? Or a...
It is a Nintendo
no,
Entertainment
a Nintendo
System game.
Game.
And...
Oh my God, Deadly
yeah.
Towers.
You start off as
oh
this
God,
character who throws unlimited swords. Starts off with this character that throws unlimited swords, and they move slow. And you could only throw one sword at a time. So the and you could throw it in 8 directions. However, the enemies move in 1,000,000 directions. So you're going to get clipped everywhere. Especially if you throw your sword and someone comes behind you, okay, and butt fucks you. Then you got to wait for another sword, okay? That game... was noted for its dungeons, in which it has no map, and if you're a player like me, you had to take graph paper and make your own map.
Oh, Metroid style.
Okay, so you made your own map, okay,
right.
on this game. And I'm unhappy to say that I wasted more time using graph paper for that game than I did in trigonometry, and maybe I would have been somewhere if I just use the graph paper for what it was meant for, you know? In any case, this game really, really it blows. Even when you get the, you know, the power-ups to, you know, help him out a little, he still fucking sucks. And, Devil you know, I played this to its entirety because, one, I was poor. Two, someone gave it to me. And three, I had no other games. I had to play this. So, and I'm unhappy now. I really wasted a lot of time on this game. And it's a shit game. Por so that's my bag of deuce.
Oh my god, my game, I actually finished that.
My game probably isn't that bad in retrospect to some people, but I, like, for me looking back at it, Ninja Turtles, NES.
Yes!
The first
yes!
one.
Wait a minute. Didn't we do that one?
No, Adrian did Ninja Turtles for the Wii.
For the Wii.
The new game based on the movie. I think anybody who's played the game doesn't need an explanation, but all I know is that the foot soldiers never had these weird beetle bat-looking motherfuckers swooping down on you in sewers. Nor did they have men on fire.
Mm-hmm. And the game was over once you lost Leonardo and once you lost Donatello.
Yeah, because
that's
the other two fucking suck.
The other two suck.
It's like, am I hitting him now? No. Am I hitting him now? No, move closer. Am I hitting him now? Move closer. Am I hitting him now? Oh, I'm dead.
That especially Raphael, what the fuck would they think in designing him?
That game was like the poster boy for moon jumping.
That sounds like racist term.
Moon jumping?
I'm going to moon jump you.
who wants to talk about the really dumb underwater level where you had to defuse the bombs in like 3 seconds? And
oh,
those freaking like poisonous, what was it? Sea anemones and like coral reefs and shit. I'm like, oh my god, poisonous coral reef. Hurts me, a turtle, who is an aquatic being, by the way.
What a shell.
God. Yeah, that's my bag of shit game. And I think that's over. It smells dump.
Well, I got one more thing about that game.
Oh, okay.
Wow. I never recalled the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song being boom, 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 boom.
And it was made by what was it? It was
Ultra.
Like
Ultra/Konami.
Konami Ultra, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my
Ultra
god, that game sucked.
F-team.
Well, I will say though that they made up for it with the arcade port to the Nintendo and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. Yeah, but those are good games.
Those
are
official Konami.
Yeah.
And those were good
people
games.
People were upset. Yeah. They were upset. They bought this shit game.
Wait. So we're talking about bag of shit games, not good games. Screw them. Dump.
Fuck Sony.
Moving on to the main topic, and this is the news that's on everybody's lips. The Rockstar Take-Two Sony and Nintendo fiasco with Manhunt 2. For those of you who are living under 3 rocks in 5 leather jackets and don't know what the hell is going on and don't know that the sky is blue, okay, on, what was the 19th, Monday or Tuesday?
The sky is blue!
I think
blue.
It was Monday.
That was...
Manhunt 2 was banned in the UK on Monday or Tuesday on the 19th. Right after that, Manhunt 2 received an AO rating from the ESRB in the States. That's adults only. And then it was real the next day that Sony and Nintendo restated and reinforced their policies. We don't license AO games. Effectively, indirectly banning it in the States too. Though we can't really call it a ban, literally. It kind of is. And then the next day, Manhunt 2 was temporarily put on hold by Take-Two. There's several issues on this. One of them that people are talking about was AO Fair. Another one is, you know, blah, 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 censorship. Another one is just, like, where are we heading with this whole AO thing? What can Take-Two do with the game? And just, like, what does this mean for games in general going forward? Like, are we going to, like, let lobbyists and politicians, you know, push this agenda and pressure the ESRB to do this type of stuff? Was the ESRB pressured at all? So there's a whole bunch of shit swirling around this. Let me give you some unconfirmed facts. Is from NeoGAF forums. Apparently, you're able to decapitate a lady in a brothel and then proceed to have intercourse with the hole in the neck, which is kind of disgusting. And I would say is deserving of the AO rating. You can also
moon jump your neck.
You can also microwave a cat and see necrophilia scenes in a graveyard.
Been there, done that.
There's also, for anybody who's interested, GameSpot has hands-on impressions, as does, I think, Kotaku. So if you go to GameSpot.com and look up Manhunt, their hands-on impressions, you can see firsthand what happens in the game. And finally, there's a petition online to get Manhunt released by Sony and Nintendo. Should I read the petition, or should we just leave it at that? I think we can leave it at that.
No, we can direct them to it, but, you know.
PetitionOnline.com/... The number 4 Manhunt. So it's /4Manhunt/petition.html. Or you just go to fucking Google and do Manhunt 2 petition.
It's a Manhunt
so
petition.
So while I go and fix myself something to drink so I can drunk myself to death, what are your thoughts on this? Someone go. Somebody go.
I'm going on a Manhunt.
You, Ethan.
Sucks. And the government is taking control, except it's not the government, it's a privately owned organization, which we were talking about before the cast, trying to figure out. So the ESRB was formed just so the industry could regulate itself, similar to the MPAA.
Right.
And I don't personally think that they banned the game irrationally, or not banned it. I don't think they gave it an AO rating irrationally. It probably does deserve an AO rating. It's probably got some really nasty stuff in there. I do have a problem with Sony and Nintendo banning AO games. And I have a larger problem with the government allowing Sony and Nintendo to ban AO games when Sony and Nintendo now, or consoles, have become kind of this medium for delivery of content like the television has, where you're always allowed to pay for whatever content you want. That's why there's porn on cable.
Right,
right.
And that's why you can pay for media that you want, no matter how disgusting it is.
Right.
And there is no... If Sony and Nintendo are really the only distributors, or the those are
the,
you know,
they're
controlling everything.
The
that's right, they're controlling everything that gets played on their console. They shouldn't really be able to have the yay or nay on what gets put out. They can make deals, they can bid for contracts, but if somebody's willing to pay whatever fee they need to pay to get a game on that console, I'm sorry, it's just a media delivery, and they are going to need to accept it. And so that's where I think the government needs to step in and protect free speech.
Well, two things on that. One is obviously we know that the government doesn't like games anyway, so they're not going to help us. So, but
well, it's not necessarily true. I mean, it depends on how this turns out. There's lots of government officials that have helped people like Howard Stern when he was getting banned.
Right.
It depends on how it and they, you know, will say publicly, like, I hate what he does. He's a smutty guy, but it's a free speech line. I don't want to continue to cross because it's kind of a slippery slope argument, and I think this is.
Right, Tony.
So
has...
I agree with you that there's a bias. Sorry, I agree with you that there's a bias against like government officials, primarily in video games. But as the video game audience gets older and older, I think you'll start to see some of these things kind of go in reverse. Right. But I can understand now when the oldest video gamer, not the oldest, the average video gamer is around 30, that there's still plenty of old people in control that have no idea what the fuck they're doing that are making the rules or not. You know, not guaranteeing our free speech rights when they don't care for the medium that is being questioned.
Right. I was going to say something else, but Tony called dibs, so...
Okay, I'm just saying that it seems to me that Sony is totally flip-flopping on this. They're fucking... fuck Sony! They don't license AO games. Well, did they license... Grand Theft Auto San Andreas?
Nope. They licensed it as an M game, but when the AO label got attached to it, they had to basically tell... What's it called? They had to tell Rockstar to fix it and give it back as an M game.
But so, they sold the AO copies.
Well, it wasn't...
Yeah, but they didn't know.
Them who, like, said... Who said, like, you may continue selling them. It was the game stores that were like, we're gonna stick a sticker on them. And then, actually, a lot of the game stores pulled it off the shelves. So basically what happened was it got rated AO after the fact, and they didn't know about the hot coffee for a long time, right? So it's not necessarily something that they flip-flopped on, but continue.
Are there any other games with AO that were released?
Nope.
Never.
No. Not by Sony.
Never?
Never by Sony, never by Nintendo.
And this is kind of the thing.
That's
like their
problem.
Well, it is. There's like NC-17 and X movies that get released, and it's fine if you want to rate them however you want, but to prevent them from being released is, I think, illegal.
You know what's gonna happen? It's gonna be like a video store. You know, you have that nice embarrassing section in the back that you see lonely old men go into. That's the porn section. They'll probably have to do that with video games eventually because this is like getting out of hand.
Well,
you
that's
know,
fine. They can do that. The problem
is
that
I'll totally agree with that. At least I know
it's there.
All
least
the games
there.
In that section are gonna rock. Right. You know what I'm saying?
And Sony, I mean, a lot of people are going to say, well, Sony's a private company, they can do what they want. Nintendo's a private company, but they can do what they want. That's not true when it's in the public's interest. That's in the Constitution. If you, once something becomes in the public interest, the government takes over. That's the law of the land. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason why the subways in New York started as private companies and were sold to the city, because they realized once it's in the public interest, the government needs to be able to control it and regulate it. Mm-hmm. Because it's in the public interest, it can no longer be left to a private company's whim.
Right.
And this is now, I would say, you know, with the number of consoles in people's houses, that's in the public interest at this point.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
It's like gay marriages.
Maybe. But you know what I think? Okay. Yeah. Now, this game. Yeah, that's true. when it comes in regards to Manhunt 2, Manhunt 2 is basically like a slasher flick. Okay, it's a violent game with probably some sexual elements in it and stuff like that.
And, no way!
Yeah, and I think that the main thing behind Nintendo and Sony not wanting AO games is that that can pretty much open the floodgates to, like, Jenna Jameson and her new game, mm-hmm. or Tara Patrick and her new game, mm-hmm. and then Vivid Video's new game, and,
yep.
you know, it's just going to open the floodgates for porn to become available on the Wii, PlayStation 2, Xbox 360. And remember you were just talking about the video store with the section in the back with the porn?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They actually have that in adult stores. They have the section of adult video games. Mm. And all these adult video games are usually... made by porn companies, and then there's Leisure Suit Larry,
you mean for
Magna Cum Laude, Uncut and Uncensored.
You mean for PC?
Yeah, PC.
Yeah, for PC.
Okay.
PC. Yep. PC.
I got a question. I got a question. That Playboy game.
Yeah, the Playboy
that was
Mansion
on
game.
The. What was the rating on that game?
Search results for Playoy.
Playoy.
Nothing.
Wiki.
Let's do that again.
Well, the console version was rated M.
Ah,
so I really think
I found a side article that's hilarious. Video game gals take it off for Playboy. Blood Rain goes naked.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, I saw
that's
that.
That's fucking great.
It's stupid.
Oh, sorry. Man. But go ahead, Al. Finish.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. I think that they're afraid of opening the floodgates for porn games on there. Because, I mean, you know how they have in the old days, they had those porn games or those idol games or those hentai games like in Japan? Mm-hmm. And over there is okay, kind of. They don't want that same kind of shit to happen here. Because, you know, we got morals.
Oh, God. We'll invade your country, but we got morals. Oh.
Well, you know. I'm still wondering about the whole public interest thing. This is news to me. Ethan, you'll have to help me help explain this further to me. But, I mean, if the licensees, you know, basically have an agreement with the licensors that say, you know, this is our policy, and as a licensee, do you agree to this? Yes, we do. Okay, so what? Even I mean, I don't get this whole public interest thing. How this can like totally affect what a private sure. company does when the people that it is aligned with, in this case being the licensees, have agreed to their policies.
Yep, totally agree. And it is legal to sign those agreements and be bound by them. But the issue is, it's kind of like I invent this thing, and it delivers news. It's a little device you put in your pocket, and it's like separate from RSS, and it's separate from whatever, and it delivers a bunch of news. And I send it out to people, and they tons of people buy it. Or first, like 10 million people buy it, and it's like, okay, great, 20 million people buy it. Then, like, everybody in the country buys it. Half the people in the country buy it. Well, at that point, the government is supposed to step in and say, because this is in the public interest that this be regulated, I am hereby regulating it. You no longer have complete control as if you are a private company. You have government oversight. And I think we're at the point now where, and I mean, that's left up to interpretation. So there's no like, okay, if there are, you know, 100 million consoles, that's when. But like, it's when the government feels that it's in the public interest. And I would say that it is, that consoles are so prevalent in houses, and they can distribute whatever they want, that there's control in both ways. It's kind of like religious groups. There's no problem with religious groups creating video games and disseminating information that way. And so there, you need kind of the other side as well. And what those private companies are doing, since they're private companies, they can do whatever they want. That's great. But when you have something that's so broad, like consoles, you probably need some type of government interaction to oversee and make sure that the public interest is being served, because it's in the public interest.
suppose Manhunt 2 isn't in the public's interest because and I'm speaking no, right. no, I'm speaking strictly from sales because of the fact that Manhunt 1 actually didn't do well in sales, and then also the fact that the PC is an open platform. And the other thing from coming from this is then why should Nintendo and Sony refuse really shitty games?
I agree with you. I think that the other piece of this is that I think there needs to be a distinction between Sony's reputation, Nintendo's reputation, and Rockstar's reputation, or Take-Two's reputation.
Right.
Because if Sony's forced to release games without regard to content and like or without like they can't discriminate on content, then no longer are they susceptible to any lawsuit. They'd be fine with that. The reason why they're banning these games is they're afraid of lawsuits. If the government says you can't do that, then that alleviates that. They're fine with that. They're just going to make more money. So it's not really in like the public interest on a game level. Like, is Manhunt in the public interest? Does anybody really care? Maybe not. But it's the same with porn. Like, even if you took the view that 5% of the population actually wanted porn, the point is that any free speech should be available, and that's what's in the public interest.
See, because the way I've always seen this whole situation is, and I'm reluctant to do so because this is basically arguing against the fact that I want Manhunt 2 on my console, right? Mm-hmm. But I, you know, a company like Ethan has been saying, and like the popular misconception, perhaps maybe it's a misconception, maybe it's not, but like he said, corporation can do whatever it wants in its own best interests, and I think that Nintendo and Sony have the right to do whatever the fuck they want to
Absolutely.
Make sure they don't go under, because then they can't do anything at all once they go under. Now, you know, it slightly changes now that you say if the government were to intervene and say it's okay, you can do this, then I agree. But as it is, do we know if that's going to happen? And would the government ever, you know, in this specific case, just for this specific game, because that's what it's going to boil down to, because this is the only AO game that has actually been really brought up to, you know, in such, has really brought such fervor to a console.
I think you're asking two questions. One is, what's your prediction of actually what will happen? And two is, what should happen? And my opinion of what should happen is the government should step in and say, you're not allowed to sue the console companies for content that they release because they're not because we're basically saying they can't
right.
Not release a title based on having content that doesn't meet some kind of
criteria.
Well, they can probably do it based on quality. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't release a buggy game on our system.
Sure.
Or you can't
sure,
release
sure.
a game.
Those are standards.
Right, exactly. But the law would be structured that it. Right, it would be discrimination. It's like discrimination. And sure, it's hard to prove, because then they could say, like, if they really didn't want to release something for some fucking reason, they'd be like, well, the quality standards weren't up to our levels, but then they'd have to demonstrate that.
It's like employment at will, though. It's like, yeah, he's gay, let's fire him. Oh, I fired you because you're doing a shitty job.
Exactly. But that, it's harder to do that, I think, with a console. That's what should happen in my mind, is that the console maker should be alleviated of the liability, basically, if somebody's suing them. Once that happens, they're happier because they're just going to make more money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're getting this whole adult audience that probably didn't even care that much anymore. Right. They're happy when they're making money. That's fine. What will happen is probably, from the government standpoint, nothing. They won't do anything. But this won't be the first game that does this.
Sure.
And in another 20 years, you might start to see legislation, or as the landscape changes to what the delivery medium is, like maybe it moves away from consoles, or like we've been talking about, you know, you have digital delivery and you have the one device that is the everything thing that just delivers games and media and everything.
Right.
That thing will have to be regulated because it'll be the one thing. It's the same reason for like requiring public access television channels or requiring news. It used to be that news wasn't even a requirement for every network. Now networks are required to put in a percentage of their time for news in the public interest, and then they're allowed to like sell all the other shit. So that's something I think will eventually happen, but it won't happen now because of this one game.
There's something else that you said in there previously that I wanted to touch on before we went to that other thing. Freedom of speech. And a lot of people have different interpretations of freedom of speech, and I you know, I'm just kind of on the fence on this one. I just don't know, because you get websites such as, for example, GameSpot, that has a terms of use that you agree to when you sign up. Which is basically, I'm not going to call someone else a dick. I'm not going to swear,
right.
Or I'll censor it out. And I won't post lies. I won't advertise. I won't post porn. That's the terms of use. And people are like, oh, what happened to my freedom of speech? And I'm like, well, you signed an agreement when you signed up to be a member on this website.
Right.
A, you signed an agreement. And two, does freedom of speech really protect your right to call someone else a dickhead? Or is it there to protect you know, journalists who need to be able to speak out against the country's problems, should there be any. You know, a lot of people say the original intent of freedom of speech was that, and not just so you can go around, like verbally assaulting people. That's why verbal assault you can be kind of, you know, taken to court for, right?
Yeah, but in that circumstance...
So I'm asking, like, what, you know, where does this fit in with games, and, like, what... Yeah.
Well, that's a public interest question again. GameSpot's not the only website where you can publish information. If those people want to say dick or whatever, they can certainly do that on the internet. And the internet is intentionally unregulated for that kind of thing. Right. The problem is that GameSpot's a private company, and they can do whatever they want. Fine. So is Sony and Nintendo. Fine. But GameSpot is not... That medium of GameSpot is not monopolistic in any way of limiting the amount of content there is on the internet for video games, whereas Sony and Nintendo, you can't release a console game if it's not on a console.
Sure.
How many console companies are there?
That's true. I guess it brings back into the circle is, like, where does the fact that the PC is open on this, like, would the government kind of say, like, you could just move it there. What the hell's the problem with you guys, you know?
Absolutely.
Or go to 360.
And I actually, you know, when I was talking about this before, I think that's actually what they should do. Rockstar should
just put on the PC.
They should release the game. They should modify the game, which they're going to do. There's no way. There's like rumors around that people they're going to cancel the game. Bullshit. Okay,
this
is amazing.
It's too much hype. Too much hype.
Exactly. They're going to capitalize on all this awesome press.
Right, and that's
gotten.
What I was thinking. Like when I read the details of why the AO rating was given, the whole raping in the neck. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but like there's a huge point here that I thought about, and I was like, you know what? They probably don't even want to put this in the game. They probably, you know, set the alarms off. They're sitting in their rooms, like, jacking off, laughing, right? Going, we're going to fix this, and we're going to make so much money because we got all this attention, right? Because, like, I really, like, maybe I'm naive, but I really don't think Rockstar pushes the limits, but I don't really think that they would put a neck-raping scene into a game that's intended for the wide audience. I really don't think that they would actually intend to do that. And I'm pretty sure that if they got away with it, they would probably be really surprised and be like, oh... Wow!
So it's you're going along you're going along the lines of there's no such thing as bad press.
There is such a thing as bad press, but in this case, it's not bad only because there are so many people who, in this particular instance, for this particular game and this particular audience, would be like, "Oh my god, that sounds awesome!" Or like not. And I'm speaking literally not about the neck raping thing, but the fact that it's an AO game. Right, the fact that it has that stigma, and then people are like, "Oh, cool," you know, this, you know, so that's what I'm talking about. Bad press is there is bad press in some respects, but Ethan, go ahead. I'm sorry.
What you were really talking about is their expectation, not necessarily like only in bad press, but whether the game would get AO and get banned.
Right.
And I have a feeling if there is something that's like like you were saying, as bad as you know, raping a woman in the neck. I bet they did build it. I bet they coded it because the SRB saw something.
Right.
So it is in the game.
Now,
whatever it is.
Before we continue, this is unconfirmed. This is from a forum post, so we don't
know. Right. But whatever it is, that's why I'm saying it doesn't have to be that. But it could be anything. Whatever it is, the SRB saw something that pushed it over the line. They know when they're developing it that they are pushing the line, and that's their intent is to push the line. They want to do that. That's great. And so I would assume as well that they pushed it far enough that they thought this may or may not get banned, and I wouldn't be surprised if they've already got an M-rated version sitting around that they knew they wouldn't have to like rush development to get something out.
Right.
But certainly, why not try to pass it? What's the worst thing that could happen in their minds? It goes to the board, it gets rated AO, they get tons of press about it, they know that, and they'll cut it down to release the game. And then, again, what I was saying before was, I would think the best strategy for them, release it on the console first, make sure they get sales, and then a year later... release it for the PC and do their own distribution so nobody gets in trouble except them.
Right, exactly.
And then, yeah, Sony and Nintendo may say, like, bad boy, don't do that again. You shouldn't, you know, we can't do business with you.
You're
bullshit.
A nutty boy.
You know what? No, they're making too much money off that company.
Right.
So they are in a position of
power
at that
point. Will they, though? Because Take-Two has traditionally not been doing stuff for Wii. Sony, maybe. Sony, yeah.
Oh, no. What do you mean? Doing stuff for Wii? No. I'm saying they release it for PC.
Right.
I'm saying, will the you mean will Nintendo ban them?
Right. Like, I mean, I don't think they would have too many qualms with saying, well, fine, like, we just won't have a business agreement. But, like, because, I mean, they're fucking selling hotcakes, and they have other mature games. But, like, I'm just saying, I was just bringing up a hypothetical because, you know, Nintendo really hasn't traditionally worked with them. But go on. That was just an aside.
Well, to me, it just seems like there's too much money on the table for the console makers to say no to a company because of the bad press they got for releasing a game by themselves on the PC that nobody else would release.
Right.
That's the, like I really think that they that's what they should do. They should just release it on their own. They don't. They'll save a ton of money. They can charge half for the game.
Right.
And they won't get any. They won't get any arguments from distributors because none of the distributors would pick it up.
Wait, are you saying
so? It's not like they went around the distributors back.
What platform do you mean?
PC.
Okay, I thought
you
meant console.
Distributed as a download on the internet from their website. That's simply Windows code.
Agree.
It's not.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's not with a distributing brand.
Yep.
And the reason why they don't do that now is because distributing brands get pissed, and then they don't advertise the games, and there's that whole budgetary thing, and there's collusion.
Or they could,
I mean,
they could do it
like
from an online store. Like Take-Two might have their
exactly.
Own
they do it
store.
From their own online store. They don't do any. They don't have to market it. They don't have to do any things that those distributors do.
Well,
why? Because it's already been had
Take-Two is the publisher, though. Take-Two is the publisher, and they can decide to. Distributed, they could decide to do all the marketing on their own and release the funds for the
exactly.
marketing and the box art. So that's not even a
exactly.
concern. But
you could have the 10 developers that worked on the game decide to release it on their own.
Right, through different channels. But like what I'm saying, what I'm saying is that they don't have to resort to that because Take Two got their back. You know, Take Two is their publisher. Rockstar is Take Two's company. I think is their developer. And I hear pigeons in the background. Let me take a moment.
Yeah,
let Al say something because he has to leave. Do you have anything to add to the topic?
No, I'm really enjoying this. But yeah, I did want to mention that in terms of the bad press thing and in terms of just like really effed up stuff going into games, it just harkens back for me to BMX XXX, where, you know, that was a game that was squarely sold on titties. I'm not lying. I'm not lying. From the moment you turn on that game, there's titties. There's the opening scene, and there's a girl getting sprayed with a hose, and she has a wet t-shirt with the company, the developer's name on it. And I think they cut that out of like the PS2 version, but it's in the GameCube version. I think it's in the Xbox version.
Uh-huh. I was the motion capture model for that scene.
No, that was live video. That was real.
Okay.
And... basically, they had so many things in that game that could have given it an AO rating, but they took them out.
Right.
Like
right.
adjustable breasts and the naked mods, and they had all kinds of stuff. I mean, the first stage was just really messed up. Like, they put a lot of effort into that stage. You had to take this dog who was, like, crapping all over the place, and you had to take it, give it some stuff, and then it would have sex with another dog. And they actually like showed that in the game. This wasn't real. This was motion captured. And you know, you just did regular biking stuff, but then you would turn in your coins to scores to get to stripper videos. And they were real stripper videos.
Right.
Which was cool and all. But they, you know, that game didn't sell for whatever reason. I mean, it sold pretty well for GameCube because all the stuff was in it. But comparing that to Manhunt, it's like, okay, what are they going to do to get this game to sell, you know, to get this game down to an M rating? I mean, all they really got to do is take out that really, really effed up violent sexual stuff.
Yep.
So, I mean, I know that there is a stage in the game that has a brothel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And odds are that stage is probably the point of contention because everything else, okay, you beat somebody in the head, you shoot somebody, you're going to tear somebody's neck off or strangle them to death or, you know, kill them in all sorts of other weird ways. And then in the background, you got, like, the torturing and stuff like that. That's going to be even worse. But as soon as you throw in something, which, of course, is theoretic as in this point, as having sex with somebody's neck hole, I'm sorry. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. That shit is wrong.
Yeah,
and I do honestly agree that, you know, that makes that an AO game. And if Nintendo and Sony don't want that on their console, that's up to them. It's really something that shouldn't even have to be regulated.
Yep.
Sorry, tone down your game or don't sell it.
The only caveat to that I think is that it's tough to. I mean, this is why it's a slippery slope argument. It's tough to say, you know, okay, just tone down that piece and then it's fine. That shouldn't have to be regulated. But it does have to be regulated because the same kind of things can happen, not necessarily with something like this, but with, let's say, a religious game where I can totally object to certain themes in a game that are based on religion, based on separation of church and state laws.
Wait. Separation of church and state? There's no state in video games. It's not government regulated.
Yeah, exactly. But the problem is that it's the same thing as, like, if I object to content because it's too religious, is anybody going to take it off?
Oh, yeah.
Does that get an AO rating?
No, it's not going to get an AO rating. It's not going to be released. Or it's not going to sell.
It will be, no, totally be released. It will be. That's the point.
Left
they
behind
don't care.
Was
Sony
released.
And Nintendo do not give a shit. And the reason is because it's PC to not care about that kind of shit. And it's at the whim of, like, what the culture is at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, so, like, if I want to see somebody raping somebody in the neck, no matter how wrong it is, it should be left up. That's why we have a capitalist society. Nobody buys it. The company goes out of business. That's what takes care of it.
Right.
Not somebody saying, I refuse to release that content. That's bullshit.
Besides,
in five years, neck raping is going to be so good. It's going to be acceptable.
Dude, I neck rape all the time.
Christ, shut up.
And I have to do it to animals only because humans is really wrong and I can't get away with that.
But yeah, I mean, like,
neck.
And that's why I'm so on the fence on this issue is that, like, yeah, I think that, you know, corporation is generally treated as a person in most respects. So Nintendo and Sony have whatever the fuck right to do what they want. However, I value equally my right to choose whether or not I want to get that game. I should have that choice. So that's why I'm so on the fence here. It's like, you know, if I were a corporation, I'd want to have the right to fucking control what I should have the right to control. But I'm not a corporation. I'm me who wants Manhunt on the Wii. So
Well, I agree, and I think, like, the point is that we shouldn't live in a world where that content is banned before it's available.
Right.
It should live and die by the public's like or dislike of it. That's the capitalist system that we're in, and we're in it for a reason, because it works really fucking well.
I think consumers
decide and stop regulating, you know, well, regulate it so that there's no regulation by, you know, private companies.
And I think finally the whole thing, like, for not final enough for you guys, but I think that the best way is not to force Nintendo or Sony to do this, but, like, by someone else's hand, because I don't believe in that either. I don't believe in Big Brother, and I'm exaggerating here, of course. I don't really mean Big Brother, but Big Brother going, oh, you have to do what we say, but, like, the consumers clamoring for it, that's what petitions are for, and the stakeholders and shareholders clamoring for it. That's why I own Nintendo stock, right? That's why the stockholders, if they think it's in the best interest of the company, they'll be like, yo, we want to make money. You want to make money. Do it. So I think the way to get them to do it, hopefully, is something like this, and not the government coming down and saying, we are taking away your right to be able to do whatever is in your best interest. If they find it in their best interest after we're complaining and shit, then, you know, that's what I think is the ideal way. But I realize that that's too idealistic, and I know that something's going to have to come down the pipeline.
Also, I would look at it a little bit differently and not use the word control, where the government's controlling them. They're alleviating them. I think PlayStation and Nintendo right now are controlled by their shareholders who are saying, don't release the game. I think it's the opposite is what's happening. They are afraid of being sued. They are afraid of right-wing organizations who have a lot of power getting pissed at them and doing damage to them. It's not they want to make money. In that way, a corporation is not really like a person. A corporation is bound to serve its board in the best way possible.
Right.
And there's always a measure of balance between making profit and not getting sued. And in this case, that board has decided, wisely, they should not get sued.
Right.
And so they won't release the game. The government, if they step in, they're not controlling them. They're actually alleviating the control by saying, release whatever you want and you will suffer no consequence. But go ahead and make sure that you release based on how much money you think you're going to make. And if they did that, I would suspect that even this game, with all the shit in it, would make a fuckload of money.
See, because what I was under the impression of, what a lot of people are saying, is that the government should control and not release. Like, there is a key difference, and I recognize that now that you've cleared it up. It's like the government saying, we're releasing these set of laws not to say, Nintendo, you must do this, but to say that Nintendo and Sony are free of having to get sued. Now,
exactly.
Let things happen. And then
right.
The
now release going. Based on where what you think what money you think you're going to bring in. Release purely on a business justification, which is, I would say, like, right. A corporation is treated like a person, but a person has all these other things going on, where a corporation's job really is to just make money for its shareholders. That is the job of the corporation.
My last act as president before I get kicked out unceremoniously would be to let Manhunt 2 get released and
cancel Little Bush.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Al has to go, so let's say farewell to him. He'll miss the mailbag. Apologies, but his answers will be with us in spirit.
Thank you, Al.
Yes, yes.
So long. Yeah. Farewell.
Enjoy your Thanksgiving dinner.
Fuck y'all.
Enjoy your bacon dinner.
All right. Just fuck y'all in the neck. In the neck hole.
I told you, that's going to be the thing to do, man.
The thing to do. All the kids are doing it.
Peace, y'all.
And Al's gone.
Later, man.
Is there anything more to be said, or should we move to the mailbag?
No, I think we beat this in the neck.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we actually somewhat agree that the content should be available, but that we agree that this content's probably too far to survive. The Nintendo and Sony aren't doing anything wrong,
right?
But that the environment is just a little bit flawed.
Right.
One question.
Sure.
Does the Xbox release AO games?
I mean,
license.
I don't think so. I have to check on that, but I have not
seen a
single Xbox AO game. Because
Sorry, go ahead.
Does Microsoft have balls enough to release it on their system?
Probably not, because they're already letting people release things on PC.
Right. Well, they can't stop it, though.
Yeah, that's not...
That's
yeah.
the funny thing, too. Like,
well, they could institute a policy at any time they want. If their licensors agree with it, then...
Well, I don't know. Can they do that, though? Like, if I write code for Windows and just release it, I don't need Microsoft's permission. They just
I'm talking about Xbox.
Oh, right. No. But I thought you meant you were saying they don't do it for PC, or somebody said that. Maybe it was Tony. Sorry.
It wasn't me.
No. I said they do.
I imagined it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. Since it's, well, they may be in a little bit of a different position, but you're probably right. They probably will ban it. But I haven't seen anything about what they're doing. Right. Like, are they not commenting?
Manhunt is not slated for Xbox, so they have no say in this at all.
It should
be. That's why they're not commenting.
If Take-Two is going in with them for Grand Theft Auto 4, why not this game?
Because this game didn't really sell that much, and I think that they're... No, I'm serious. I think they're only doing it for PS2 and Wii because of the fact that those two are so prevalent in homes, and... As well as the Xbox 360 is doing, it's not doing as well. So Take-Two just wants to hedge its bets with the,
right.
you know, with the cost benefit,
okay.
and say we're going to spend their money to develop this for PS2 and Wii, and because the PSP is probably similar in architecture, throw it on there as well because it won't cost us that much more. But if I have to build up from the ground up an Xbox 360 version, that's going to cost us $50 million.
Yeah.
So from a business standpoint, it makes very much sense. Though it would be interesting to see what Microsoft's take on this is.
Mm-hmm. Interesting quick note, though.
No!
They do always port those games over to PC, like San Andreas got ported.
Oh, yeah.
So it really may have been in their original strategy, like this game won't get released, we'll get a lot of press, we'll release the M version on console, and then in a year or two, when we get around to porting it, guess what you guys get?
Right.
It's like a new game.
Yep.
It's much more fun
game.
It's not
the same game, just on a different system.
It's got neck raping.
One final thing, and I hate to keep prolonging this, and I'm sorry, but like the final thing that I think needs to be said is that another thing that I'm on the fence on is Take-Two and Rockstar itself. Uh-huh. Rockstar has been the catalyst for everything or at least people involved with Take-Two. Rockstar has been the catalyst for all this shit, and I think that they should be free to do whatever they want as from an artistic standpoint and from a content standpoint, because that's what we should be founded on. At the same time, I hate the fact that they're ruining it for the rest of us. I hate the fact that they're coming in and bringing all this attention from politicians and from lobbyists to fucking ruin everything else. We might not have had such a big deal with random violent game X if it hadn't been for the hookers in Grand Theft Auto and people getting all up in arms of that. I'm not in the school that people would have seen something else to complain about, because I think that nothing else comes close to what Rockstar has done. Now,
that's a great point.
Now, I still reluctantly think that they should be able to do what they want, because that's what the country is founded on, but I wish that once in a while they would take a step back and consider that all the money that they're getting from this industry has the jeopardy of going away, and they themselves might have to go away if they keep this up. Which means unfortunately sounds like I'm in support of censorship, which I'm not. I just want people to give things a balanced outlook on things. That's all.
I was just going to say that I wouldn't worry so much about, like, the industry's not going anywhere, and neither is Rockstar, no matter what they do. There's way too much money involved that it won't, people will sue back and forth and there'll be money changed hands that way, but the industry is not going to go away. But your point is really good, because it's almost like asking them to go a little bit slower. in the eventual eventuality of a totally free video game world.
Do what you do, just be careful with how you do it. Exercise a little common sense.
If you jump like 5 steps ahead and show like neck raping now, that means like, well, you're just setting the timer back overall for like 10 years now. Great, now we have to wait a long, long time, and again, slowly build up because they're going to be clamping down on video games until they ignore it for a while, and then another company does the same thing.
I say in about 5 years. 5 years.
Something like that would be definitely not mainstream but allowed.
Yeah. Five years, nobody will care. You know, it's just there's gonna be so much violent in video games that this is just gonna be another violent episode all right.
Well, we'll have to see which way the people vote. If they vote. Because you know that the politicians are going after this simply because the people don't want to be responsible, and like they want their content to be regulated so they don't have to babysit their kids any more than they are, which isn't very much. They're letting TV do it,
right?
So then they say we will vote for the person who helps censorship arise, and these people say, I'll get the vote if I do this, so I'm gonna do it, and they'll do it.
We have to see what happens.
I don't think it's that people also don't want to parent their kids. I think they're overly paranoid about, oh my god, what happens if they happen to see this by accident. Obviously, you know that there will be some certain percentage of people, if you allow the content at all, that where it's getting in the hands of people who are probably too young who should be seeing it.
It's imitative.
What are the consequences of that? What are the real consequences of that? Some people, I think a lot of people in this country, feel like, oh my god, there's really a god, and there's really the devil, and if my kids watch this, they will be devil children, and will, like, be hookers when they get... I'm serious. Because, they think these real-world consequences. When they don't, I don't think they realize that... If a kid sees a fucking video game that's too violent by accident, really? Okay, don't do it again, but it's not the end of the world. It's like...
And it's the parents' job to coach them on that and why...
It's like they fell and they scraped their knee. You can't fucking protect them from everything. They're just going to have to, like, grow up and be exposed to things and learn what the world is about. And unfortunately, there are some gruesome things about it. And unfortunately, there are some gruesome things that even normal, healthy people somehow fantasize doing in video games.
Especially because you know, God doesn't want you to neck rape prostitutes, but he does want you to go and pillage villages, rape their women, and cut people's heads off in the name of God.
Exactly. Hypocrisy. That's where this stuff comes from anyway. Exactly.
Core.
Fuck you.
Right, that shit pisses me off.
Well, not fuck you, but you need to understand, even if you're religious, that... Well, if somebody sees something by accident, when you ban stuff based on like family values, you really are fucking yourself, because later on your value really may not align with somebody else's who has more control than you, and it will really piss you off if that starts to happen. So you either let it all in or you don't censor anything.
Exactly. And two things on that. Were you done?
No, I misspoke. Okay. You either censor it all or you don't. Okay. Sorry.
Two things on that. One, I'm of the school of learn, do not teach, don't hide. Don't actively bring someone to an X-rated movie.
Right.
But if it happens, you teach.
Right.
And the other thing I kind of forgot.
It's because all those damn violent video games and your memory can't hold shit.
Listen, I think if you want to see something like this, fine, it should be up to the consumer to choose what they... This is what it comes down to in the court. A consumer should choose, or should be able to choose what they want to play, what they want to see, what they want to do. And I personally want to play this game with the neck raping. I do.
Yeah, I want to see what it is. I'm curious. Like,
I
want to
see it, but I don't think I'll enjoy it.
I'm not going to say,
I agree.
Thing,
oh, no. But I do think we have the right to see it if we want to.
Right.
Agreed. Right. Totally agree. I may not enjoy it at all, but it's like... Let me fucking decide.
Right. And after Tony finishes, I just remembered what I was going to say with the second thing.
No, I'm done.
So go ahead. Okay, the second thing is that the popular saying, rules are meant to be broken. Uh-huh. I'm not advocating don't ever make any rules, but you ban things in your family, people are going to get curious, and it may be worse off.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So. That's a good point. Resistance is like the worst thing you can do when you really want something, is to resist it, because all you're going to do is create this like weird-ass fucking... Yeah. Shit that like British people had about sex. They couldn't even show ankles and shit.
Whoa. Well, I'm done.
Well, the 19th century. I'm talking about a long time ago. Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Like, well, sexual repression.
I'm ranted out. What about you guys? So if you want to continue, go ahead. But if you want to go to the mailbag, we'll go to the mailbag.
I'm good.
We're going to mailbag. Mailbag.
Let's you and I talk. Do you remember the work we did?
Daddy, there you are! so good of you to join us.
No, no, no!
Our intention was to create the perfect weapon. What's
going on?
She's setting us up, Danny.
We were working to repair the damage when you decided to escape.
What does Psycho mean?
Getting out was just the beginning, Danny. The project can't let us live. Neo?
This product is not yet rated.
We are at the male female bag. Okay.
Female bag. That's like an what is that?
I remember. One from Slunks. Hey guys, sorry for the lack of questions lately. I realize that it can be a letdown. It's all right, Slunks. We love you.
We love you, man.
I was recently contacted by Rishi Moda, who is from TalkXbox.com. He was interested in hiring me to join the staff.
Nice.
After taking a gander at their website, I was pretty sure I was going to accept the offer. Then I found this little comic on their website, which is www.talkxbox.com/comic/txcomic1.jpg. The comic itself is really dumb, but should I pantomime it?
The first frame...
Says, has this ever happened to you? And it has two friends talking, and one guy says, hey, guess what? My wife bought me a PS2. Well, just remain calm and follow these easy steps. The second panel has, rush to your friend's house and get the controllers away from him. The third step is, trade in the PS2 and games for the blatantly superior Xbox. And the guy's going, I don't know. And his friend's going, but think of your family.
Oh.
The last frame says, this will be all very difficult but in the end, and the guy's going, the graphics, the hard drive, the online chat, sob, thank you so much. Friends don't let friends buy PlayStation 2.
Fanboy.
This message is brought to you by our friends at TalkXbox.com. Now, they have every right to do this because they're an Xbox site, but that doesn't make them any better off. And
well,
finish
his question.
No, I will. I'm just saying the comic is stupid. He agrees. He says, that comic itself has completely turned me away from the offer because of this little strip. They have a biased image, and even though they only review 360 games, I don't want my desperation for experience make me be a part of this biased image, period. So that leads us to my question, if you decided to read the whole thing this time through. When do you think is a good time to actually start looking for a job, even if it's non-paying? Right now I'm not seeking to join sites. I'm letting them come to me. I don't feel as if I have enough experience to put together a portfolio and ship it out to a few websites. On top of that, I don't review games all too often, so I'm trying to time this right, and I'm wondering when I should start going after a position instead of letting them come to me. At the same time, I don't want to join another biased, low-quality website, which I have done before. Ugh. HelmGames.com.
TryGames.net.
Shut up. Thanks for any advice, and sorry for the long read. Well, I actually sent him a private message on GameSpot, basically saying what I'm going to say right now is that when he's ready, he should try to start as soon as possible, because like any contacts you make now will be gold as long as you keep yourself in their mindshare. And that's the caveat, is when you're ready. And I think that for now, until he is ready, and like I've seen some of his stuff, he's been getting very good at writing. But you know when you're ready, when people do start coming to you and mm-hmm. do notice you. The problem is that how do they notice you? Sometimes you don't know. So it's kind of like weird thing where you don't know what the chicken or the egg, right? But I think Ethan and Tony, I think I'd like you guys to chime in on this because you have more experience than I do. You know, specifically, you know, being alive. So, like, what would you
We're
say?
We're old. I would say that first of all, in terms of the TalkBox thing, Talk Xbox, sorry, take it. Yeah. And there's a couple reasons why, even if you hate it. One, you can be a source of change. If you feel that you're upset about what they're doing, excellent. Go work for them. Slowly get them on your side. Convince them that they're wrong in a nice, nice, nice way. Play within the system, and there you go. You've done something cool and gotten probably a cool position at the same time. Two, I would say go ahead and start looking for work right now. I don't see there's any problem going out and sending stuff around. If people say no, they say no. The thing that I most see in what companies want across the board is going to be eagerness. If you apply to a company and you get denied, you keep writing for websites. Keep writing for websites. Keep writing for websites. Send them a new package. Send them a new package. Right. Send them a new package. Eventually, they will get sick and tired of you and will have you in for an interview because they don't want to get your stupid packages anymore. And then they see that you're eager, they see that you're interested, and by then you've probably gotten better at writing anyway. But the experience that you'll get at a real company where they're editing your writing and they're teaching you will probably be more valuable than you continuing to learn on your own. Just that the editors will, I mean, they'll be able to help you learn a little bit faster. Having professional experience on your resume only helps you get further professional experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a question on that. And again, this is why I'm turning to you because, again, I don't have as much experience. I've always been of the mindset that you have to time that resending of the package very carefully because while you want to show your eagerness, you also don't want to annoy the shit out of them to the point that not only do they do the opposite of what you said and not, you know, and continue to ignore you, but they, like, fucking put a filter on their email and all your shit goes to the garbage.
I totally agree with that.
So, like, what's the timing on that? I told them basically, like, you know, you apply and they say no, wait it out for maybe a couple of months, maybe 6 months.
There's a fine line between eager and desperate.
Right.
Very fine line.
Well, first of all, it's also, like, apply, send a package. Uh-huh. Let them say no. And once they say no, the next thing that you ask them is, you say, thanks for the opportunity. Uh-huh. Is there anything that you feel that I could do to improve the package? They may not respond because they may be weary of a lawsuit because they're actually not allowed to tell you that why they didn't accept you.
Right, but they know now that you are eager to learn.
Right, or you may find, luckily, an inexperienced HR person who will share with you the decisions of other people, which will be invaluable to you. So you just ask the question. There's nothing you can't. It can't hurt. Right. And Austin is exactly right. Wait 6 months. Do not send a package.
Follow up with
an email or follow up with a single voicemail saying, hey,
remember me.
I wrote some new stuff. Wondering if you're looking, would like to resubmit. If they don't call you back, don't resubmit.
Wait another six months.
Do the same thing.
Yeah.
But there's no reason not to start that
right,
now.
Right, exactly.
And if you don't, I mean, you're not going to piss them off calling them twice a year. There's no way. And if you do, then that's not the company you want to work for.
Right.
Because they're not actually looking for people that have grown.
Right. There's something that Alex said in episode 47 when he was a guest. And for those who don't know, Alex Navarro was on episode 47. So if you're interested in listening to that, there's a back catalog on our website. But remember he said that, you know, make sure you're on sites that, I don't know if he said this word for word, but the general gist I got, and this is probably more pertaining to quality and not agendas, right? Mm-hmm. But don't go on a site that's shit. Don't have your work on a site that's shit because that could serve to do the reverse and take your reputation down.
Right.
And, like, although one might think, oh, I am gold amongst dust because my writing is great and their writing is shit, what are you doing on that site, you know? You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it in words, but it's like, and I also feel that if this is really something that he doesn't believe in, depending on where he applies in the future, he's missing the opportunity to have his work published. But he is also, you know, basically telling the companies, this is what I believe in, this is my message, and I think that my message is in sync with what your message is. So I don't know, it's touchy there. But I do agree with you. If Talk Xbox's quality is good, which I read and thought it was passable, if you really think that quality is good and you really think that you can make a change, do go work for them. But if you don't want to be a part of that, that's totally respectable. Just make sure that you do find another site that will take your work because you don't want to be kind of unpublished for too long. And I will say out right now, Slunks does have a review from when he did win a contest on our site. So I think that's indicative of his ability. And, you know, he does have ability. So... so long as just keep writing. Keep writing to us.
You'll make tons of
nothing
friends.
Nothing. Tons of friends.
I have another quick point
sure.
about what you just said, Austin.
Sure.
About the quality of the site thing. I think that's totally true. Like, you have to be wary about where your stuff shows up. However, in something like on the Talk Xbox thing, I think what you want to do is you approach it, if you decide to accept it, you accept it, and you say, you tell them up front, and you phrase it this way, well, that you're happy to accept, you're really excited, because you think you bring something different to the table.
Sure.
Once you start from that vantage point, then you make sure that everything you do write for that site stays very closely to your core values, and if somebody tries to edit stuff out, or somebody tries to do whatever... you quit based on that, or you publish based on that. You keep publishing articles that maybe they don't want to publish. In that way, when you're looked at from another company, they'll look at your articles and they'll still see you.
Good point.
Because there's no reason to bend to somebody else because you're already if you're writing something that you don't believe, it's never going to be fun, and you won't do well because you don't believe it, and it will suck because of that. So as long as you stay true to yourself, no matter where you are, I think. it'll come through. Yeah. Or they won't even publish you because they'll be so pissed off at you, which is fine. Let them get pissed off.
Tony?
Right. But they paid you for the time of trying to write.
Right.
Well, what Ethan just said goes along with the conversation and the questions that we asked Alex Navarro on Podcast 47, which is, have you ever been pressured or influenced to change your views? And if you think this is a site that is definitely a fanboy site that's going to try to change your views, then hold on to your guns. You know, hold on to your conviction there. You could hold out for better. Okay?
Well, actually, I would say go work there. And then hold on to your guns, get rejected, and then write about that someplace else.
Then trash the shit out of them. Wait, hold on.
You
could definitely go in there, okay, and as Ethan said, make changes. And then you become, you know, a head editor and stuff like that. And then rob that motherfucker blind. Yeah, break all yourself.
Yeah, Slunks right now is, I believe he's still 16. He might have turned 17 recently. I think that at this point.
Oh, it's early.
Yeah, and I think at this point, you know, if he's uncomfortable, not just from an ability or a philosophy type of deal, but just from a general, I'm not comfortable working with these types of people, even if I could make a change. I'm just not comfortable yet. You're still young.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
So, you know, if you really don't feel that comfortable, don't worry about it. I mean, give it a couple of years and do what you need to do to get into the groove.
Yeah, actually, I didn't realize he was that young. That is a maturity question, and so I'd revise my answer, actually. You should... Go to college.
Listen, no, you're not supposed
to.
Like
Well, I mean, he can still do a part time while he's
doing all right.
Yeah, so I mean, that's
fair
fine,
enough.
You know?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But I think the point I was trying to make is just that at this point he doesn't have to put up with all that stress. He's got other things to worry about.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, once you, I mean, it's always good to learn the hard way, but like, balance it. You know, if you're uncomfortable, you're uncomfortable. Any other? If you guys have comments, just go ahead.
No, we're good.
Ethan.
I'm good.
Okay. Riven's too hardcore for sissy controls. Just kidding, buddy. Actually, no, I'm not. Hey, guys. You're probably going to have a lot of comments and questions this week regarding your Manhunt 2 discussion, which we actually don't.
Going on a Manhunt.
Layden and myself will probably discuss our feelings on it at length in our own podcast, which you guys should listen to. Okay.
What's that
link? It'll come in housekeeping. So I'll offer up a question. GameSlaysRadio.net. No, GameSlaysRadio.net. Shit. So I'll offer up a question along a completely different track. How do you feel about the evolution of controllers? And I think this is something that I'll ask Al when he comes back next week because I think he'd like to answer this. I asked because I spent some time with my dad and was showing off the 360. He used to be heavily into games, and he's the one who's responsible for my lifestyle obsession, but his passion faded over the years. During the demo of the 360, my father commented on how hard the controls have gotten and how he couldn't possibly get back into gaming if he even wanted to. Mm. Obviously, the Wii has come along and attempted to correct that barrier for a lot of gaming's older fans and newer ones alike. However, I can't think but maybe we need even more complex control schemes. Looking at some of the most recent hardcore games, you can start to notice a trend by developers of having to come up with interesting ways of fitting all the commands to what they must feel is a limited control scheme. Buttons on your standard 360 or PC controllers can be used twice, maybe even three times for all different functions. I guess this is another area where keyboard mouse will always win out due to sheer amounts of buttons or button mappings available for use. So, do you think as games become even more complex, we will see those systems still marketed at long time gaming fans adopt newer, bigger, and more complex controllers? Or do you think the Wii has it right and that we need to exchange accuracy and depth of user control into a broad and simplified input? Until motion sensing gets to a perfect 1-1 movement capture ratio, I personally would still prefer to press a button to stab or suffocate someone rather than swing my arms wildly and hope the machine knows what I'm intending to do. I'm not saying the Wii's controls are terrible, but I still feel it's a novel trend that's fun factor lasts in short bursts, and for anything more, I'd still rather relax with a controller where I know my input's being correctly acknowledged in a tense or important gaming situation. The last thing I want to address first. You sold your Wii back, and you haven't played the games on it since. So unless you've tried all these games at length, I really don't think to call something novel before you try it. And I'm not trying to piss you off, and I apologize if I am, but, like, the whole big thing about this and the DS and back in the day and the six-axis controller is try it before you judge it. These types of things, this motion control, is so new that there's no way that you can really accurately judge it until you give it a good, fair shot when it's matured. So I don't buy that this is a gimmick because we don't know it yet. You know it's a gimmick? Zavix bowling, where the only thing you do is bowling, and it's just this one thing that you throw, and you have to buy a little fake ball for the sensor to recognize it. That's a gimmick. Motion control,
Super scope gimmick.
Yeah, because it was like good for one thing, and that was it. An e-reader that they never supported. These control schemes are trying to become standardized. Motion control in MotorStorm is trying to become standardized. It may not be there yet, but they're trying to make it real so that people don't feel ripped off when they buy these systems. That's the whole point. I do agree that games are getting more complex, but I don't agree that the right way to go is to make a new controller. I think the right way to go is to learn how to fucking design. Because the way I see it is there's kind of very little room for in-between. Like, you either have a keyboard or you have today's standard gamepad. You can't have something in the middle, because then you're gonna get into a situation where the gamepad is too big to hold, or this mini keyboard has too few buttons.
Can I give two perfect examples?
Yes.
Intellivision and Jaguar.
Yes. Jaguar. But it's like there's some things that serve a certain function. The best of what they do is when it happens that they're doing only what they do. It's like take an MP3 video player phone, right? Mm-hmm. Traditionally, people want their phones to be as small as possible. They want their MP3 players to be as small as possible. Does that sound correct, Ethan?
Overall, yeah.
Right. So when you but when you're watching video, screen size is very important because you're watching it. So there's no real good happy medium. I have an MP3 video player and it's great, but that doesn't mean that I think that, you know, it's the optimal viewing experience. In fact, I rarely use it for video at all because I think it's not as good because the screen's too small. But because it's so small, you know, it serves its function as MP3 player. So the similar thing with controllers. You try to get something that's in between, or you try to make it more complicated, and then you kind of lose what the meaning of either or. You lose the meaning of a keyboard having so many keys. You lose the meaning of a controller being ergonomically sound. I do believe that there's only so far we can go before controllers do get too complicated. We're almost there already. The best controller that I've worked with, that I would say that I could work with, is a combination of the 360 controller, with a better D-pad, of course, the 360 controller, and then I had this thing called the Thrustmaster. But they had these two middle finger buttons that kind of sat below the two shoulder buttons. I'm sorry, the four shoulder buttons. And then your ring finger were resting on these other pads. And I'm like, that's cool that they have that. That's about as far as I'd go. I don't like six-button controllers with six face buttons. That's asymmetrical, and your thumb goes all over. Hardcore, and I should stop using that word, but like the hardcore games, as you move along, really should be about the game and not fussing with the controller. And if that means simplifying the controls of the game to make the actual gameplay you know, smooth, better and more accurate, more dynamic, so be it. If that means adding on another button, with the caveat that with the caution that you don't make it too complicated, that's fine. But I think the key here is you need an interface device that you don't think about. That's the key to making a good game and a good game controller, is that you don't think about the controller when you're playing the game. And like the sooner you can get to do that, the better. That's the way I see it. Now, we can have some inaccuracies. It's not perfect, and I agree it's not perfect, but there are some applications for which it just works better. I've actually gotten the Wii version of Resident Evil 4, and you know what you do to swipe the knife? You swipe the remote. And you know what? It feels really good, because when you're surrounded by zombies and they're all coming at you, you don't have to sit there and press the trigger button and then aim at the zombie and then press A. You just swing, and he swings, and the guy goes down. Some things do work better, and until you actually try them at length, I really can't buy your statement that it's novel.
I interpreted that question a little bit differently. Like, even if he didn't try it, from a theoretical point of view, even if there's a one-to-one relationship between the exact time your character moves and what you're doing, I think there's a question of, like, which control scheme is better for what?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And to me, it winds up being both kind of answer. I think that in terms of the evolution of
before you continue, I was just addressing the word novel in like that last sentence, not the entire question, but
right,
go ahead.
Right. Well, I mean, he's right in the sense that everybody knows it's not perfect because it's the first iteration of doing it. So I guess from that point, you could consider it like, maybe novel is not the right word, but
here's what stuck out to me is when, fun factor that lasts in short bursts. I don't swipe the knife in Resident Evil 4 because it's fun. I do it because it simply works better. And I think that, that speaks to what you were about to say, right?
Well, I think the short burst that he's referring to may mean that Wii tends to have games where the interface lends itself to games that are shorter and maybe more shallow.
Goddamn mini games.
But there's two reasons for that. One is just the control scheme. And it's kind of like you take that control scheme with the Wiimote and you advance it 50 years and you have, like, I don't know, a fucking bodysuit that tracks, like, everything.
Sure, yeah.
And when you... when you keep using that, you are moving your body around and you're kind of getting a little workout, especially depending on like whatever the control scheme is.
Right.
With a controller, you're sitting on your ass and you have the controller in your lap and you can be really lazy about it.
Right.
So there's great qualities to both. In terms of what he's saying, in terms of like the right. So in terms of what he's saying about like the short time of or like a briefer experience, I can play real-time strategy games, or I can play first-person shooter games. I can play Battlefield 2 for like 6 hours. Mm-hmm. If I played Battlefield 2 holding a fake gun and running and doing shit, I would exhaust myself. Right.
Mm-hmm. But you have been playing Call of Duty 3 and resting the thing on your knee?
Yep. Yeah. Yes, 100% better than dual analog. However, that speaks to like the evolution controller piece, where I kind of want... I mean, I think what he's talking about is like some kind of weird medium where you don't necessarily need to use every muscle in your body, so you can play long periods of time and you don't get tired, but you're not limited by the limitations of a controller.
Right.
And you're not limited by the limitations of a keyboard and mouse where you have to sit at a desk and it's, you know, you have to have your hands in a certain position and your hand and other hand in a certain position. And it's even that's a little awkward, but you trade that in for like more buttons and a different control scheme. So what I was thinking is, you know, what really happens is in terms of the evolution of controllers, you have this thing where it's better and more closely tracking minute movements in your body in more ways so that like literally each finger movement does something big by a very subtle movement in your finger so that you have way more control and can do way more things.
Sure.
And without thinking about it, just like you said, like, I don't want to think about it, I just want to do it. Well, that stuff, it's partly is practice.
Right.
And partly is like years and years and years and years of the same controller scheme being like existing. Like, first we didn't even have analog sticks.
Exactly, yeah.
And they came out, and now, like, what would you fucking do without one?
Right.
Pressure-sensitive buttons. They suck still. You know, like, when are we going to get a fucking racing game where I can give it half gas and I don't have to, like, you know,
feather
to go 50 miles an hour, fucking slam on it, let it off, slam on it, let it off, slam on it, you know.
And so I was just going to ask, number one, what was the last system that his father did play?
Probably,
you know, and
PlayStation, maybe.
What do you think, Nintendo?
I would venture to guess maybe PlayStation or, at the very least, Super Nintendo.
Well, if he did PlayStation, the controls...
It's very similar. I do agree.
There were 8 buttons.
I do agree. It's very similar.
Yeah, there were 8 buttons, and it had 2 analog triggers.
But I also think he's speaking to the complexity of the games as they're coming along.
Okay, so it's not... So the father doesn't... It's not necessarily that the controls themselves are...
I think it's both. I think it's the combination of both, perhaps. I'm not sure.
Because I think the I've seen the Xbox 360 handle, and it's not unlike the game.
Yeah, it's cute. I know.
Yeah,
it's very
like,
similar. It's very
similar.
Yeah,
so I'm like, so
I'm just,
I really
I'm just saying,
know.
I think it's a combination of both.
Okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to know about that. And, I lost my other point because of Ethan talking too fucking much.
Ham. Sweet.
God damn it. All right, that's it. I'm done.
One sentence that I wanted to address before we move on or before I go back to Ethan. Do you think Wii has it right, and do we need to exchange accuracy and depth of user control? I don't think we need to exchange anything. I think the Wii controller could use some improvements, and I think that'll be ideal, like Ethan said. But I think in a way of, like, I think it needs another button. One more, at least one more button, and I think that the motion control needs to be more fine-tuned. Once you get to that, I mean, I'll tell you this much. From both a fun factor perspective, like you say, and a functionality perspective, I think swinging it to swing a bat makes much more sense than pressing a button or an analog stick to swing a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just makes more sense. If you play baseball, and I don't, by the way, if you play baseball, and like it's more natural to exchange that sense of feeling from swinging a real bat to swinging a remote.
Mm-hmm.
And it works better, you know. But it does depend on them engineering it so that the response time is right. I will say that from Wii Sports Baseball, the response time is perfect.
I think there's also an interesting question though in terms of like when you're playing, you know, the show or whatever, and you're A-Rod and you are hitting a ball. Is it better for you to use A-Rod with a button or with a Wii controller in the sense that you suck? A-Rod's really good. When you swing the Wii controller, like, there are lots of minute details or that they could either pick up or not pick up, depending on how they wanted to do it.
I think that's up to design.
I think that's up to
software design, because...
Yeah, kind of, but at some point, you get to the point where, like, you're then grading people's physical ability, in a different way than a button does.
You don't have
anybody
to get,
can
you
push
don't,
a button.
But you don't have to get it down to that stupidly many. Anybody can swing the remote, too.
Absolutely.
Not to a level that you need to be a pro to swing it, but just swing
right.
it.
Right. But then you're removing some of the advantage of even having swinging a button instead of pushing a button. Swinging a controller
instead
of pushing a button.
Yeah, because I swing buttons relentless. Well, no. I mean, the key advantage for me here is that it feels more natural. That's it. That's it.
Okay. I mean, I understand
it
what you're saying.
It feels more natural. It's more intuitive. That's it. Then, you know,
I don't know if
us,
I agree with
well,
more intuitive the,
because we've been playing with gamepads for 20 years.
Yeah, but everybody has, and
not
I think
everybody.
That's the point.
Huh?
Not everybody, and not the audience that they're trying to bring in with the system.
Well, they're bringing in an audience that really hasn't played games, but I think like every kid on the planet's used a controller. Nobody's like picking up a Wii controller at age 6.
No. But what I'm saying,
this is more.
No. What I'm saying is that from our vantage point, we're so ingrained in it. For a kid who's 8 and he's been playing controllers for maybe like 3 or 4 years, he's still learning, so he could pick that up easier than maybe we could. Mm-hmm. Well, not me because I'm great.
Maybe.
So let's move on, like Tony said.
Yeah.
Last one, and McDove has a question on Manhunt 2. I guess I have some really general questions that stem from the arguments given by some of our GameSpot user comments on your editorial. By the way, guys, I've written an editorial on this whole ESRB thing on TriGames.
Okay.
If you guys want to take a look at it. So instead of writing a big
you fucking liar
babble about them, let me finish this because we're running low on time.
Yeah, sure.
So instead of writing a big babble about them, I just straight out ask, do you think the idea of freedom of speech applies to this industry? I think we answered that in a mm-hmm. whole discussion. And B, while I probably know the answer to this, what rating system do you prefer, a self-governed rating board or a government-controlled one? I ask this as some GameSpot users seem to want the latter, as they seem displeased with the ESRB doing their job and they don't
realize what an S.
He's saying that he's from Australia.
Yeah.
He's saying that some of the people were upset and think the ESRB isn't doing its job. Wow. And don't realize that, and it's not against him, but he was saying users were saying this. And they don't realize that these are the only two options we'll ever have.
I don't know if they mean that they're being too harsh or too lenient or what?
I don't know. People who don't think, like I was reading the comments the other day, people who don't think and are just like rabid fanboys, they're like, oh, AO, the ESRB give it AO, we don't need the ESRB, they're a bunch of crap, they only ruin things for us. And I'm like, you don't understand how these things work.
Yeah, it's just a guideline.
These people are really dumb. And there was someone who wrote an editorial that said we don't need the ESRB. No, you're wrong. Sorry. What were you going to say, Ethan?
I think that's right. I think it's just stupid. Like, it seems to me that the ratings that come out when I see a rating on a game, it pretty much matches up when I finish playing the game with what I would rate it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the real test. And they probably have a board of people that hopefully represent a cross-section of users, and those users vote, and then that's how it gets rated, which is exactly how it should be.
And they also have guidelines to go by. They don't just pull it out of their ass.
Right. They have a set of guidelines. And that's the point. I mean, you know, what we're asking them to do is to, before I play the game, tell me if there's something in there that I should know about, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. And they're doing a good job at doing that.
Well, for now.
I guess
for the time period we're in.
Hopefully, yeah.
Right.
Now, to the question, would we rather have a self-governed one or a government-controlled one? What
I think we prophetically answered this question during our
Well, no. This is different.
Just about the ratings board. About the ratings board, not about, like, distribution and shit.
I guess, ideally, I'd rather have maybe 2 or 3 or 4 different companies doing the ratings independently and putting them all in the box. Hmm. And that way you don't... Because, to me, it's kind of the same. It doesn't really matter whether the government or these guys are doing it. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? It's still one group of people. There's still guidelines, and they apply that rating to the box. I mean, the government, I guess you could, like, government could fall prey to, like, lobbying or other political interests, but the ESRB can fall prey to bribing from companies as well. So I would say what you really want are, like, 3 or 4 companies that put their independent games on, their independent ratings on, and you hope that they all align every time, and occasionally when they don't, you show that, like, 2 companies gave this an M rating and 2 companies gave it an AO rating, and maybe you... play some games, get a feel for which companies vote or go with which rating, and that's the one you prefer to listen to, or it just gives you an expanded view of what that game is doing. I mean, maybe that's just too much oversight and it's just way too expensive. Well, I don't know.
Do you think with today's crop of geniuses in the world, will that inform or confuse? And I'm not saying that we should...
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we should excuse people who are too dumb to realize, but You know, the mom that doesn't really understand this and, like, yep. does a good job of parenting her kids, but when you throw so many things on a box, it's a little hard to... I mean, there's already Game of E3 and GameSpy Game of the Year awards on the box, too, so it's like, what am I looking at? But do you think that would confuse people more than inform?
Maybe. I mean, there's ways of implementing it. Like, you show the average as the big score on the box, and on the back, you break it down so that if people want to or they're smart enough to figure it out, they can, but you still give them an average rating. But again, the average rating is already something you're getting from one organization over a number of board members or users. But I think the competitive piece, which is why you, like, the only difference to me between a government one and the ERCB, there's no difference. It's one entity.
Right.
The only thing you can do is add more people or add more competitiveness.
The final decision will be the same no matter who it is. It's just what external influences might come down on those organizations, like you said, lobbying and bribery and all that stuff. So
right.
it's really up to that.
Exactly. And when you spread that out into multiple organizations, you may tend to get less of that, because if you can't, it's tougher, I think, to bribe all four companies than it is to bribe the one that does it, like the ESRB. Where if you have four companies doing it, you can go ahead and bribe one, but when their rating doesn't align with the other three, somebody's going to be like, well, what's going on?
One question about the government control thing and moving away from your multiple tiers of ratings, which I think is actually could be a cool idea.
Yeah, but it's probably impossible.
Right. But the government-controlled one, now, is it really the same? I mean, are they prone as a government who thinks... not necessarily are, but thinks in some kind of warped mentality that they might be looking out for the benefit of their country, and I'm just saying hypothetical, by refusing to rate something or by outright banning it before they even take a look at it. And I'm using the example of the UK, which I don't think is psycho. I'm just saying that this is what they did, and like some other government might be psycho, but they chose to not rate Manhunt 2, which effectively banned it.
Yeah, I mean...
where an independent organization might not be so inclined to do that?
Or I don't know
is
if,
that just
I don't know
kind
if
of coincidental?
Where, yeah, I don't know if the line gets drawn there, but actually, to me now, it seems a little more obvious where the difference is between the ESRB and government rate is that the ESRB members aren't voted in.
Right.
The government is supposed to be a representative of what people have decided they want. And so I think the question then is kind of like, do we want some government where, you know, there's regular circulation, there are term limits to people that are deciding these things, or maybe, I don't know how that works, because do they appoint people who sit on that board? Is it just members of Congress? I don't know where the people come from, but I'm assuming,
right,
for the sake of argument, that they are elected officials that are the ESRB if it was a government entity, versus an ESRB, which is semi-private, where people can stay for 50 years,
mm-hmm,
and I don't know how that's selected. And in that sense, maybe government rated winds up being a little bit better only because they're held a little bit more accountable on a time limit basis. Like, that, you know, they have 4 years or 8 years, whatever the term limit is, to do their job before they're reelected or not elected or whatever. And in that sense, you can go, okay, screw you, I hate you for doing whatever you did on that, and there's some turnover there, so it's likely to keep changing and do less damage, maybe.
Right.
That's the difference I see now, actually. I don't know.
Well, hope that answers your question, Dove Boy. We're way over schedule, so we're going to cut off right here unless either of you have last words.
No. Sorry. That's wow, we went long.
Tony says, fuck Sony!
Fuck Sony.
Just kidding. For anybody who's confused on that, basically the fact that they apologized to the church last episode had Tony riled up. So...
yep.
Let's get to some housekeeping real quick. Listen to the Gamers Lounge podcast if it ever resurfaces. Come on, guys. You have it in you. Make another episode. www.gamespot.com/users/... who do I pimp here? I guess Tony. JURADAI. That's where you can find the episodes. And listen to Game Slaves Radio at gameslaves.net and win a copy of Forza 2 for the Xbox 360.
Ooh.
How do you do this? Listen to episodes 14 or 15. Either
nice.
Or, they should have the details. Episode 14 has the details near the end of the podcast, I think. Enter the Pirates versus Ninjas contest. We're still only at around 15 entrants, but we have $50 to give, and we now have t-shirts to give away because we ordered them.
Yay!
So please, enter. You want $50.
And a t-shirt.
And a t-shirt. Or a t-shirt.
And
or
a t-shirt.
Or you can exchange both of those for a kiss from me.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
He's talking about a pickle kiss. That's what he's talking about.
I don't even know what?
Use your imagination, Ethan.
I may give you warts.
It's either set of lips between a pair of cheeks. You don't know which one it is, but you'll find out when you get his kiss.
Yep, or I can fuck you in the ass. You choose.
Or the neck hole.
It's such
Ethan.
A rapist.
A light kiss or a fuck in the ass. Those are the options.
Or a neck rapist.
Ethan.
No, no, it's not Ethan. It's Touch of Thunder.
For Touch of Thunder. For Tony.
No, no, it's not. It's Moon Jumper.
For Touch of Thunder and for Moon Thunder.
Moon
and for
Thunder. Moon...
and for... I don't know what it is.
Moon Jumper.
For you idiots and for Al. I have been your host. My last act as president before I get kicked out unceremoniously would be to release
the bag of colon sweat.
Oh, Jesus.